shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome. Thank God it's Thursday, almost Friday,
almost
right?
Almost Friday.
Almost Friday. What is it out there? I haven't been outside today. No, I was out early this morning, and it was pouring rain.
Oh, yes.
Raining cats and dogs, as they say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that before? Cats
and
dogs?
Oh, yes.
Why? Where does that come from? What does that mean?
I don't know, but I always wanted to be out there when they were raining, and then I could have had a couple of dogs. A
couple of dogs.
Yeah.
You didn't want the cats?
No.
No.
You're not a cat person.
No.
I'm cat woman.
I'm not a cat person. Yeah, really, I'm not a cat person.
You're not. Your mom is, but not
my
you.
Mother is. I'm not. Anyway, go ahead, Nick.
Cats are cool. I'm a cat person.
You're
oh,
a cat
that's
person.
Right.
Okay.
He has cats.
I have nothing against dogs. I've just the dogs are good too, but I've just been around cats more.
Okay, mm-hmm. No, that's all right. You know, if that's what you want, tigers and lions and
bears. Oh my!
Oh my!
Oh my! Oh my! Oh my. I saw the other day this video. It was frightening, to be honest. I was disturbed after I saw it. Anxious. And 4 hours later, I didn't know why, and then I had remembered that video. But it was a rabbit. This snake had gotten into the got into the nest or the had the baby rabbit ready to had it in its clutches. You know, it kind of wrapped itself around that baby
right.
rabbit. What do you call a baby rabbit?
Bunny.
A bunny. The bunny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the bunny was a female rabbit.
No,
is that a baby? Is a
little
bunny?
One.
Okay, bunny. So
how about hair? What is a hair?
Oh, that I thought that was a.
It's a boy.
A boy,
a boy?
Male, a
male,
man.
Okay, a man.
An adult. But anyway, okay, so the snake had the baby rabbit, the bunny,
wrapped around it,
ran around it, and somebody was filming this. It was in India actually.
Oh my God.
And then out of nowhere, the mother rabbit.
Whoa.
Came, and did she tear into that snake?
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
Save the baby,
see?
And thanks be to God, she didn't die but she
fought and
she fought and she didn't let that snake go. That snake was trying to get out of there, and she kept biting it or what? It was
don't
really
mess, don't mess
talk
with mama.
About a mother.
Don't mess with mama.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but it was just to watch. It was disturbing, and what was really disturbing was the mother, the rabbit, mm-hmm. and how the snake was trying to fight back.
Wow!
And that rabbit just and it kept going. The rabbit just kept going. The mother rabbit.
Well, we can learn a lot from the animals.
Mm-hmm.
We can
they teach us a lot.
So
don't give up.
Not too far
mm-hmm.
from here, you know, on Division Street. It's every so often you see the ducks because we got the lake over here. Not the lake, but the river,
yes.
The Chicago River. And every so often, you know, there's. A mother duck with her ducklings, and she takes her time crossing Division Street.
The parade.
The parade, and it's just
stopping
amazing.
Traffic there.
Yes, and everybody, you know, yeah. What are you going to do? And she just waddles along
mm-hmm.
with her little chicklings or ducklings,
and she waits for them until the last one
exactly.
crosses over.
It's very cute. One of our students, who's now the mother of 8 children, believe that? You know who I'm talking about, Bonnie.
Oh yes. Bonnie.
I remember she was one of our students years ago in the grade school. Mm-hmm. Now she's got, I think she's got 8 children. I think she got 8 children. And they all look alike. They're beautiful kids.
Yes, they do. And they're very, very smart, Father.
And well-behaved.
Very well-behaved.
Very well-behaved.
Very polite.
Right.
Very respectful.
That's right. And I was driving down Blackhawk, and I saw her walking her kids.
Her
and
kids.
She was like the
and
mother
she was,
duck.
Expecting.
They were all in line following her. And she was expecting
he
as
was
well.
She was expecting, yes.
So, and amazing. But she's a good mother and got good kids. Okay. So I've had a busy morning, as usual. And I've got all kinds of things. Well, let's see. Look at the gospel. And unless you have something to say, do you guys? Any questions?
No, Father, not yet.
Commentary?
No, until you read speak. Or speak, right. And then a thought will come into head.
I'm reluctant to speak. I'm reluctant to speak because the Lord said, not the Lord, I'm sorry, the Lord, the Pope.
The Lord Pope. The Lord Pope.
Yeah, these are the Lord Prime Minister, the Lord Governor, the Lord Pope. The Pope said some reluctance, I really did. I thought about this. Every time he speaks, I have to look at myself and say, "Well, you know, is he speaking to me? He must be." Mm-hmm. But he says he was recalling the today's gospel. Mm-hmm. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, I think we're coming to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We're in chapter 7. Gotta check that out. Actually, I'll do that now before I proceed. We're in Matthew's Gospel. How many chapters in the sermon, Geraldine?
I don't know, Father.
I'll tell you right now. 7.
7.
So indeed we are at the end. In fact, this is the end. This is the end. Today, I thought so. Didn't I mention that this morning?
You did.
This is actually the end of the, without even checking the Bible. Mm-hmm. I thought, this is the end of the sermon.
Right.
7, the perfect number.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jesus, in the gospel, he speaks about, let me just go right to the words of the Holy Father. Mm-hmm. He said that, recalling the gospel today in which the people marvel at Jesus' authoritative teaching. He teaches with authority. And he said, the Pope said that people today know when a priest, a bishop, or a catechist, a Christian, has the consistency that gives them authority. Jesus, he said, he admonishes his disciples to beware of the false prophets. But how to discern the true preachers of the gospel from the false ones? And I'll let you be the judge. As far as I'm concerned, you can judge me as you see fit. But anyway, he says that how to discern the true preachers of the gospel from the false ones. He said there's three things to look for. How do they speak? What do they do, and do they listen? They talk, they do, yes, of course. But another attitude is lacking, and that is the basis, which is the very foundation of speaking, of doing. They lack the ability to listen. So he's suggesting that this is one of the, and it's true, when you think of it, it's so true. You can't be a true prophet, and we're called to exercise our prophetic office. Mm-hmm. To be able to read the signs of the times. But you really cannot be truly prophetic if you're not listening, mm-hmm. I always think of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, especially those three, the call of all of them, but they were listening, right? Mm-hmm. They listened. And who am I going to send? Who's going to go? Well, you can't go if you're not listening.
Right.
But you can be steeped in the Word of God, steeped in the mission of the church, and yet, in a sense, you can be a false prophet, mm-hmm. if we're not listening. It says they talk, but they lack the ability to listen. So the Pope said that the combination of speaking, doing is not enough, and can often be deceptive. What Jesus expects of us instead is to listen and do and put into practice. That's the gospel today. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Those who hear the words but fail to make them their own, do not listen seriously or fail to put them into practice, will be like the one who builds his house on the sand. And when Jesus warns people to beware of false prophets, he says, "By their fruits you shall know them." And here, by their attitude, so many words they speak, they do wonders, do great things, but they do not have an open heart to hear the Word of God. They are afraid of the silence of the Word of God, And these are the pseudo-Christians, the pseudo-pastors. Mm-hmm. It's true, they do good things. It is true, but they lack the rock. Mm-hmm. They lack the rock. Mm-hmm. The rock of the love of God, the rock of the Word of God. They can't preach. They cannot build. Without this rock, they really cannot preach. They cannot build. They pretend. And in the end, everything collapses. These are the pseudo-pastors, the worldly pastors, or Christians also, who talk too much. That's where I was. Because when you're on a radio, I said, but you got to keep talking.
Oh, you have
you
to.
Have to
oh,
keep talking.
That's part of the mission on the radio.
So they talk too much. They're afraid of silence. I love silence, I have to say, quite honestly. I prefer silence. This is a cross for me to speak. I'm a speaker, but I not the best speaker by no means. But I, if you notice, I haven't said.
You haven't said it.
I haven't said it.
You have not
said it. I haven't said it. I'm what?
You're listening.
I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to myself. but no, I love silence. I really do.
I do too.
I find the great freedom in silence.
You know, Father, you sort of think about the saints. Even Jesus, before he went out to do the Father's mission, he went into the desert to be silent, to listen to the Father's words.
Right.
And the saints as well, before they went out into mission, they were in the desert, so to speak, and to meditate, to hear the words from God,
sure.
what he wanted. Like, speak, Lord, your servant listens.
So you think of St. Paul, you know, when he had his conversion. He was a persecutor. He was a zealot, a passionate Pharisee, very zealous. He was persecuting the church. And God blinded him. Jesus blinded him, really created the space for him to listen.
That's right.
I think it was 3 days. He was for 3 days blinded, wasn't he? I think it was 3 days he was blind. And then he had to go through a training or a catechesis. He had to be instructed, as we see in the life of the apostles. I mean, what really happened, you know, from the time of the resurrection until the time of Pentecost? You know, Jesus continued to be in communion with the apostles. And then, of course, they had, even before the Pentecost, before the birth of the church, they were sent to the upper room and there to pray.
Yeah.
And it's a prayer is being disposed to listen, to listen. Now, it's not that we're it's interesting when you think about that, because I say I love the silence, and I do, because how do you listen to God? That's a good question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you listen to God?
You open up, you have to be disposed, you open up your heart, your soul to what the Lord wants from you, but you have to be predisposed.
Just reading something actually this morning. I was reading from St. Catherine of Siena. Speaking of that, let's see if I can find it here. I just found this beautiful little book on Eucharistic adoration put out by the Catholic Truth Society, and I'm going to try to get these for the parish. But it's a beautiful book. It's got different readings from the saints, you know, simple, little readings that you can just to reflect on as you're in that before the Blessed Sacrament, because you don't want to, really, truly, in the presence of Jesus, certainly we want to share with him what's going on in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we have to, who was it this past week? There was a beautiful reading, I think I shared it on the radio, about prayer, and was it the Feast of St. Boniface?
Boniface, I think.
No, it wasn't Boniface. We did talk about that, but this was about prayer, and not a lot of words, not a lot of noise, no shouting, but a humble disposition before God. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Speak, Lord, your servant listens, as we hear in the Bible. And was it Samuel, right? Speak, Lord, your servant listens.
Samuel.
The young boy Samuel, who heard the call, but didn't know where it was coming from. He thought it was the high priest.
Yeah.
I forget his name now. What was his name? Eli, the high priest. But St. Catherine, let's see, was it St. Catherine? This is a boundless charity. Just as you gave Just as you gave us yourself, holy God and holy man, so you left us all of yourself as food, so that while we are pilgrims in this life, we might not collapse in our weariness, but be strengthened by you, your heavenly food. Now, that wasn't... That's beautiful, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. John the 23rd, I think. Jesus is there. He's speaking of the Blessed Sacrament.
Okay.
This is Blessed Saint John the 23rd. Jesus is there, the prisoner of love. Whether the tabernacle be poor or precious, Jesus is always there. The good parishioner of ours, who was surprised by a saintly parish priest, St. John Vianney, as he stood silently at the dwelling place of Jesus, his lips not even moving in prayer, replied very simply, "I look at him, and I think he looks at me, and this feeds my soul, gives me strength." So there may be prayer or even contemplation in the mere gaze of the eyes. Well, that wasn't the... But that's a beautiful one, too.
Yes,
isn't it? That's
it
not
is.
The one I was looking for. Anyway.
It's like the images that we have of Jesus, our Blessed Mother, especially Jesus. And when you look at the image and wherever you walk, it looks like his eyes are following you. He keeps his eyes on us as we should on him.
Mm-hmm.
If we could just believe it, just know that, sure. That's faith, yeah. You know, that the Lord is closer to us than we are to ourselves, that he sees what he sees everything. This is the interesting thing is to know that God sees everything. This is the silent listener of every conversation, ever present in the home, closer to us than we are to ourselves. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Yes. And there's something certainly.
He sees what we really mean too. Mm-hmm. We may not know it ourselves. We may get ourselves all confused, but he really knows where we're coming from. And that's very consoling, because sometimes I don't know where I'm coming from.
He knows what we're made of, you know?
Yeah, he knows that.
He knows what we're made of. I've said this before, because it comes right out of Scripture, that we hold the treasure. We receive the treasure, the gift of faith, in earthen vessels. So if we look at ourselves, you know, we can be really discouraged, you know.
If we stand
in the light of God, an imperceivable, we can't perceive that light. Certainly, we won't perceive the fullness of that light.
No.
The full realization of the kingdom comes only beyond this time, but that light nonetheless is there, and being in that light, we see ourselves. That's what keeps us humble, really. Should
yes.
keep us humble.
Oh, yes.
I'm speaking as if it does, but it should. And we know when we deviate. We know when we're off that path. It's a constant challenge every day.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Every day. To listen, yes. You know, we know when we're not listening. If we are listeners, that means that we love silence. I said I love silence. Mm-hmm. I like the silence. The silence is not empty. It's not an empty silence.
No.
It's imbued with the life of God. And I guess it goes to your point, because I know myself to be anything but perfect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I see, you know, my sins are always before me. That comes from Scripture, doesn't it? But it's so
sure.
true. My sins are always before me. My idiosyncrasies, my petty stuff, the pettiness, the quirks, all this stuff, you know. I tell you, really, it's
I know.
It's the reality, and yet you learn to trust that God, who sees all things, and this is a beauty, and this is, I think, why we come close to Him, even though at times we may seem far from Him and He may seem far from us, but we have that bit of faith that says, you know, the Lord, he is looking on me. He does gaze on me. He knows me, and he knows what I'm made of. And so he's not awaiting my perfection in order to come to me and abide within me. If we could just believe or as he said to St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, you know, that tell the people that though their sins may be scarlet, red as scarlet, or scarlet, that not to, don't stay away. Don't steal. The devil will try to keep us from God. Tell us, no, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're not perfect enough. When you get this right in your life, well, then God will come down to you, or He'll abide within you, or He'll be with you. No, it's already given that God is with us. We just have to have the humility to be humble enough to say, okay, you know, I here I am. I come to do your will, and this is who I am, right? This is who I am.
This is one of the wonderful things in being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with other people just coming in. I don't know who they are, it doesn't matter, but they are coming in, and I can feel something from them.
Sure.
And it's just, it's amazing to me. We are all searching, we're all trying to find our way, and we make ourselves solid by being with other people,
sure.
too.
Yeah, you don't, everyone has a story, right?
Oh, yes.
And this is the beauty of the prayer as well. We're going to maybe be a little bit here, a little bit there, all over the place, maybe this morning, but that's okay this afternoon. It's not morning now, it's afternoon here in Chicago, right?
Right,
that's right.
But there is something, there's a great consolation that comes in knowing, and this is, the beauty of adoration and the beauty of silence, where you can come into the sanctuary before the Eucharistic presence of Christ, Jesus in the Eucharist, and you're with others, and everybody's in silence.
Yes.
And everybody's got a story. Some are coming with broken hearts. Others are coming with anticipation of a door that may open, either for a job or for, you know, think of a family, parents who are hoping to, that the wife may be with child, whatever it might be. You know,
right.
You get the point. There's all kinds of stuff. People are dealing with their own, whatever point in life they might be. You know, there's when you think about it, every stage of our life journey has its own crosses, right? And so often this is what we bring before the Lord. We bring our crosses, you know, here I am, Lord, you know, and this is the burden that I bear. And He says, yes, you come to me, you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn that I am gentle and humble of heart. Right?
Yes.
So it's having that burden lifted a bit, knowing that God is there. He's aware. He's conscious. I'm with you. I know you. I know what you suffer. This is a great consolation in that. Because how often do we find ourselves in the company of others and maybe there's an anguish or there's a suffering, and you want to be able to share that, but we're reluctant to share it because people have their own issues or their own problems, or they're not, or there's not a listening. We're not listening to each other.
Right.
But I think, you know, as we place ourselves before the Lord and He listens, and we thereby listen, because when you know that somebody is listening, and you're able to speak, you know, really what is, and the beautiful thing about God is that He knows, as I said, He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So where is this coming from? Whatever it might be, I can only see. How does St. Paul say? You know, as we perceive, but only in a mirror, right?
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, all things will be revealed. So I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know how to deal with it. I long for healing, whatever it may be, in whatever aspect of my life, or I'm suffering here for someone else.
Right.
I remember one time in prayer, in the deep recesses of the soul. Because how does God speak? How do we listen? I guess these are the questions. How do we listen? Mm-hmm. How do we speak? Maybe we'll just spend the whole hour just talking about that. I don't know, but how does He speak? Because we say so often I tell the children, you know, you got to listen. God is speaking. Well, how does He speak? Is He speaking as I'm speaking to you? Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a little bit, but I remember I was carrying a major burden about the family. Really, this is going back many years, and I was in a lot of anguish. And in the prayer, I, was carrying this burden. I couldn't get my mind off the family. And I was very, very far from, I was in Canada. They were in Florida. And I was worried sick about some things and about, well, just about them, you know, about the family. It was soon after I left, so I was feeling the pain of that separation. And even thinking, you know, why am I here? Mm-hmm. And they're not. In other words, I remember for so long I was hoping, I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if one of my brothers was a priest or one of my sisters were religious sisters? Mm-hmm. And I changed that tune, you know, many, many so, you know, they got to let them be where they are because, you know, don't want to bring them into this battle, you know. But anyway, but I remember for 3 days I was just in this, just feeling this burden. I was in retreat, actually. And at some point, as I'm feeling the weight of the burden, worried, and how many of us don't, I mean, people worry, we worry.
It's my middle name.
Yeah. And so and true. I heard in the deep recesses of the soul, did I hear the voice? I don't think I heard it, but mm-hmm. it was apparent that God was saying to me, and mm-hmm. it was basically, you know, listen, he says, if they're so much a part of you that your heart suffers for them, are they not all the closer to me? The point was, you know, let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. I'm conscious of your mother and your father and your brothers and your sisters. They're mine. They belong to me. So I go back to the Jesus and the Matthew's gospel. Enough already, you know. Stop mm-hmm. it. Stop already worrying about these things, you know. If they're close to you, and I tell mothers this all the time, because I always remember that, because mothers especially, they suffer for their children. I said, you know, God knows the suffering heart of a mother. And your children are dear to you. They're close to you. You suffer for them. All the more, mm-hmm. you know. Let it go. Put it in the heart of Jesus. Not that you have to even put it in the heart of Jesus or in the heart of Our Lady. They're already there.
Mm-hmm.
They're already there. Anyway, so that's...
know the beauty of it, Father, too, is that when you go before Him, like you said, He knows us more than we know ourselves. And many times when I've had problems, I've said, Lord, I have no one else to turn to.
Sure. Here.
And a thought will come to my mind, and that's what all I can say is, this is the solution, or this, I'm here, and everything's going to be okay. He gives us that peace. Even though we come in with all these burdens and there's no peace, He gives it to us, and there's this healing, because I honestly believe when you're before Him, He's listening. And He heals us, and He gives us the peace. It reminds me of when Moses went up to when he said, Lord, do you not see the cry or hear the cry of your people? And what did He tell him? Yes, I do. That's why I'm sending you. Mm-hmm. He is here with us, and He right. listens. And even before we ask Him, He already knows.
He knows. Jesus said, you don't have to, don't even worry what you're going to say. He already knows. Exactly, and yet we have to, because of our humanity, we
sure.
need to, we have
yeah.
to unburden ourselves, yes. and we have to express, we have to mm-hmm. convey to, it's very important, but He's the medicine of the soul, mm-hmm. What we call the balm of Gilead,
yes. mm-hmm.
to soothe the pain, and you leave not having your issues resolved,
uh-huh.
but knowing that God is with you,
that's
so I'm
right.
with you. I'm with you. Again, it goes back to that gospel. But look at the birds. Mm-hmm. Provide for the birds, and the flowers are beautifully adorned, but you're more important to me. You know, so why do you worry so much? You know, stop it. Again, stop it already. Enough already. Just, you know, today, I've said this so many times because it just is so beautiful and so real. Jesus is a realist. He's a realist. And He says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't come. He says, today has troubles enough of its own. Suffering's enough for today. We've got right. sufferings enough for today. Let's not add to what we... I'm with you today, mm-hmm. and listen, I'm going to get you through this day.
Sure.
And I'll be with you tomorrow. And He is.
Yes.
And we survive. Now, if we don't believe that, if we think we can get on, we can live life without God, then we'll do it for so long, but there's a point where it all, as the Pope said, it's going to collapse. It's going to collapse. Mm-hmm. But in Christ, it doesn't. It doesn't collapse.
No.
We have to be faithful, even knowing that we have to go through difficult times, as the gospel says. The rain is going to come and the wind is going to blow. The foolish people, they build on sand, and the rain comes and the wind blows, and the house, it falls, it collapses. But the wise, those who listen to me, those who are with me, those who stay with me, you know, not having all the answers, we're never going to have all the answers. But yes, he said, yes, the rain is going to come and the wind is going to blow, but the house is not going to collapse. It's not going to collapse. I am with you. And I will be with you, and I'm going to see you through this life and into the next, right? And we do our part, and God does his part. Mm-hmm. He's not outdone in generosity. Mm-hmm. But how does the world understand that? You know, we're not talking about material generosity, but we're talking about how God provides for our needs. Give us today what we need. Give us this day our daily bread, you know? Anyway, we got to take a break. Nick, finally, right? I'm sorry. A half hour into the show.
Good.
We're taking a break.
Good.
All right, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to List Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The tradition continues. I'm Father Thomas Loya, inviting you to Prairie Fest.
Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th. Friday night at 7:30, Chicagoland's number one classic rock cover band, Aura. Then Saturday evening, August 8th at 7:30, Prairie Fest celebrates the British invasion with American English.
It was 20 years ago today. Such a ripper told the band to play.
Prairie Fest kicks off Family Day Saturday afternoon at 2 with animal shows for kids, the Innisfree Folk Ensemble, followed by Harvest Moon. Sunday is Polka Day, beginning with Polka Generations at 11 a.m., the Polish Highlanders Dance Troupe, Eddie Carosa Jr., and the Czechoslovak Moravian Society Dancers. Prairie Fest also has a beer garden, food, children's games, church and prairie tours, $5,000 raffle, and more. Complete details for Prairie Fest are at the events link at ByzantineCatholic.com. ByzantineCatholic.com. Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th, at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Watch out, he is showing us his flesh. I am Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for Tabor Life Institute. God has taken on our flesh, and during the Feast of the Epiphany, God shows his flesh to the world. In the Western Lung of the Church, God is showing this to the wise men. The Eastern Lung, having just celebrated the circumcision of Christ's flesh, now speaks of Christ's naked flesh during his baptism in the Jordan River. In the East, Epiphany is also called Theophany. So why all this flesh? Because the flesh of Jesus Christ reveals his divinity and the truth about being human. This is the theology of the body. Christ's birth, epiphany, and baptism in the flesh has renewed all creation. And if this is real to us, how do we now see all of creation, especially human body persons? To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're Talking about speaking about listening and speaking, you know, I don't know if I shared this, but this is an example because again, how does God speak? It's because we tell, you know, I tell the children in the school, you know, when you pray, you got to listen. God speaks, but it's odd to say that too because how does He speak? Because the children, how do we? When you think about your own life journey, your relationship with God, how does He speak? How do you listen? How do we listen? We learn, I think. We learn in life that, yes, God is the silent listener of every conversation. He knows what's in our heart. He knows. And the beautiful thing, I just have to say again, reiterate again, that we learn that in spite of us, God remains with us. And that's the good news. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. That.
Yeah.
He knows our idiosyncrasies. He knows our quirks. He knows our rough edges. He's the potter molding the clay. He's the sculptor sculpting away at the rock. But how does He speak and how do we listen? So we develop a disposition in prayer. So the prayer is what we do constantly. It's a constant. Certainly we place ourselves before the Blessed Sacrament. We create the space for silence. We go into sacred space, sacred silence, that is not empty. It may seem to be for people who are beginning, but and it's not. And by the way, and it's not as in Eastern religions. You know, where you looked at a dot and you focus. No, this is we're in relationship with a living God. Yes. There's a presence.
There is a presence.
The incarnate God, who remains with us, and in a most unique way, in a most beautiful way, in the sublime mystery of the Eucharist. So we acquire, I think, a posture of constancy of prayer so that God isn't far from the mind, He's not far from the heart, even as we are, as I say so often, muddling, fumbling, stumbling
in turmoil.
Through life. In turmoil, we know where to go.
Yeah.
You know, there's a point where we say to ourselves, "Okay, get over it, stop it already." Whereas Jesus says, "Enough already." Mm-hmm. We say, "Stop it already." You know, know that you're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to do it your way. You've taken control now. Let go, because you're wasting energy. It's wasted energy. Yeah. And it really is. It's wasted energy.
It's like that saying, let go and let God.
And let God. Return to the source, right? But one of the things is we're reminded, this is how God is good, one of the ways that the Lord is good. I think I don't know that I mentioned on the radio here, but two instances just in the past 3 weeks. The first one was Karen, who works in our soup kitchen, long time. I mean, her family goes back generations to the very beginning. Actually, to the very beginning of the parish. In fact, they built the home where Mother Teresa Dujic had her first convent. Mm-hmm. The Lewandowski family, just right, still standing, just right on the other side of, just across the street from the church. But in any case, her sister Paula had been. Sick for about a year, and I got a call. Was it two or three weeks ago? It seemed to lose track of time. It was about maybe 3 weeks ago, and I had been to see her before, about a month ago maybe. And I got a call that her husband called and said, you know, this was on a Friday, around 2 o'clock or 2:30. I got the call, and that she was at home, but it didn't seem that she was going to make it through the weekend. They didn't expect that she was going to make it through the weekend. And so would I come at some point, sometime during these days? And I thought, well, I'm looking at my schedule. Sir, certainly I'll go there, but when? The question is when. So I thought, well, try to get there Saturday morning. This was Friday afternoon. I'll go there Saturday morning. And then I said, no, you know what? I've got some time. They're very close. I've got an hour between confessions and the evening mass. Mm-hmm. So I finish the confessions at 6 o'clock. The mass begins at 7. I have that hour. So I'll try to get there this evening. So I called them up, and I says, you know, I've got a meeting at 3:30. I've got confessions at 4:30. I've got mass at 7. So I'm going to try to get there between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. And if I don't, if I'm not able to get there today, then I'll be there tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. But I'm going to try to get there this evening between 6 and 7. So I went into the meeting at 3:30. I had a meeting here at the in the office at 3:30. And at 4:15, I felt I need to go anoint her now. Don't wait. Just something in my mind, in my heart, in my soul. I just felt like, I just stopped right in the middle of the meeting. I said, you know what? I gotta go. I've got a there's a woman who's dying. I've got to go. And so I got up immediately and I went through the church and I told the security guard. I said, I'm probably going to be late for confessions because I have confessions at 4:30.
Yes.
But I need to go anoint a woman, Paula. And so I went and I was there and I got back to the parish. It was 4:15. I got back right around 5 o'clock to go to confession. So I was late for the confessions. And she died at 5:30.
She died
at 5:30. So if I hadn't gone, if I had waited till between six and seven, or even Saturday, I wouldn't have met it. I wouldn't have been there. So this past week, we had another incident. It was a very interesting. So on Monday, we got a call that there was a man. It was expected that he was gonna. He's way north at the hospital, way north in Chicago, and that he's not expected to live for the. They expect within the next few days he's going to pass on. He's gonna die, and. So my schedule was just packed. Now this I'd have to go way north. So I said, well, I'm not going to be able to get there Monday. Couldn't get there Tuesday. So I thought, well, I'll go there for sure on Wednesday. I don't have the radio on Wednesday, so I've got some more time. And so I had to make a number of hospital calls. And so I'd gone way west. And from there, I made a few calls. And this was the last hospital call. So I got to the hospital, not knowing whether he was still alive or not. So I got there, and it was about between 11:30. I was there for a while speaking to the son and then the mother. She was somewhere else in the hospital. Then he called her, and she came. And so probably about 11:45, we began the prayers. And I finished maybe within 10 minutes. And I remember going to my car, and I saw that it was almost 12 o'clock, almost noon. And in any case, he died right after the noon hour.
Yes.
Right after the noon hour. So the point being is that these are, you learn to trust that, you know, we can't, I'm not the Messiah. And even though sometimes I might have a messianic complex, thinking I've got to resolve all the problems and do everything, I know that it's humanly impossible.
Yeah.
And you can't be. I don't bilocate. I'm not that, you know, I don't bilocate. It would be nice. I don't know that I'd want to, you know, to be honest.
Could be very tiring.
It could be very tiring, yeah.
Yeah.
But the point is, you learn that, and you do suffer a little bit of anxiety over all this. You know, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, you know, this man is not expected to live, and I need to get over there. And the day is full. There's just not the time. And somehow you just learn that God has it all under control.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's the fruit of prayer. So when the Pope speaks about when Jesus warns people of false prophets, beware of false prophets, by their fruits you shall know them. I wondered about that because we look at ourselves, we know we're struggling. We know the parish is struggling. We're trying to maintain the parish, the school. We're struggling with finances. We don't have, you know, lots of people. It's not like the church is full at all the masses. In fact, it's rather sparse at most of the masses. We have 6 masses on Sunday. That's really the Spanish mass is the full mass.
Yeah.
And even in the summer, that goes down. So, you know, Jesus says this, the Holy Father's quoting this, and, well, where are the fruits? Where are the fruits? But then I remember the mystique of the Anawim, you know, the humble. Not that I'm not saying I'm humble, but we try to be, right?
Yeah.
Because God has a way of keeping us humble as well.
Oh, yes, He does.
He has a way of letting us okay, this is who you are. You know, mm-hmm. I want you to take a good look at yourself. Mm-hmm. Again, as we, I think we've said this every day for the last week, every before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own.
Right.
So we, it's part of the relationship as well with God, mm-hmm. is that he does have a way of showing us himself, but only if we are listening.
Mm-hmm.
If we're attuned to God, if we're listening, we're disposed, we really want to see God, we're in that quest, you know, then he allows us to see these things,
yes.
about ourselves. But we do, but this thing about the point of the Anawim is that it's these are the things, right? It's not how much money you've got, how many people are at the church, or mm-hmm. how many wonder, because again, you can do, we can be a mega church.
Yeah.
We can be a mega church. And we can say, well, see there, God must be there because look at, we're rich and we've got lots of people. That's, no, it's really the antithesis, is the,
yes.
the opposite. It's in humility. It's in a humble way, in a simple way. Again, it's the image of the leaven, the salt. In fact, if anything, you know, when we look back and we see the pictures, the photos of mm-hmm. the churches, the parishes, and they were packed. Everybody went to Mass. It seems, well, and then the Vatican Council came, and then the whole revolution of the 60s and all that. Is this not a time of purgation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a sense, do I want to say separating the wheat from the chaff? No,
yeah.
The wheat and the weeds grow together, and mm-hmm. those wheat and weeds are within us, within all of us. There's a light and dark in all of us, but it goes to the sincerity of heart. Okay. Where's your heart? Where your heart is, there your treasure is. And if your heart is in God, you're seeking God, even though you know you get in the way, you know that you're struggling against your own pride and egocentricity and all mm-hmm. that, being egocentric, self-centered, individualistic, or I should say self-centered.
Yeah.
This is the constant working. That's the part of the challenge every day, is to work against myself, yeah. right? We got to work against ourselves. Get out of the way, let God get in the way. Let him be at the center. You get yourself out of the center. And again, if we're disposed for that, then God has a way of bringing it, because he knows the sincerity of our hearts.
Yes, he does.
You know? Anyway, does that make sense?
I mean,
oh yes.
So you begin to, we begin to see how, what are the fruits of the labor? It's the simple things,
mm-hmm.
the simple things that happen. It's not in the big things. It's in the simple things, the simple ways that God says, you know, I'm with you. You see this? Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You see this? He waited for you. This man didn't die. Mm-hmm. He didn't wait for you. He waited for me. I knew
right.
the appointed time I knew you were busy. This is kind of like,
yeah.
I knew you were busy. I knew you wouldn't be able to get there. So, I don't know. It's one of those things, right?
Exactly.
And that shows us that he's in control.
He's in control.
He's,
mm-hmm.
Thank God he's in control. And that's what humbles us, because we forget and we want to be in control and be sure of this. But he's the one in charge.
He's in control and God helps those who help themselves. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got to do our part, right?
Yeah.
We're actively passive or
mm-hmm.
passively active.
Mm-hmm.
It's not doing nothing. It's doing something.
Right.
And entrusting the work of the
yeah.
day
yes.
To God. This is very important, right?
Mm-hmm.
To begin each day entrusting all things to
mm-hmm.
God. As we celebrated Mass this morning, we listened to that gospel reading about the wise and the foolish. The foolish build on sand.
Yeah.
The rain comes, the wind blows, the house, it falls. The wise build on rock. The rain comes, the wind blows, the house, it doesn't collapse. And so those, and by the way, we've had more people coming to the morning Mass. It's amazing.
Oh, yes, it is.
At 6:15, there's been a significant increase. And the number of people coming to that 6:15 Mass in the morning. And it's really what we're doing is we're there to say, you know, we're beginning the day, and God, we give this day to you. We give our lives to you. We offer this day to you. We're already anticipating the wind that's going to blow and the rain that's going to come. But you're the foundation. We're going to build this day on the foundation, rock solid foundation of your life. We come to listen. We're going to, and help us to remain, to stay in that posture of listening,
yes.
so that we don't miss, you know, the many simple little ways that you'll manifest yourself, to remind us that, you know, you're not alone,
mm-hmm.
I'm with you. But you do your part, We do our part, God does his part, but he's not outdone in generosity. But it's not as the world sees it. Mm. Not as the world sees it, but we know it. We know it. All right, everybody, we'll take a final break, and then we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen to Portal Winds of Change, your name is 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Faced with chronic lymphocytic leukemia, James Littleton came to more profoundly cherish what matters most, his relationship with God and his family. Through numerous courses of chemotherapy and an eventual bone marrow transplant, James was able to share his strong faith with God with others undergoing difficult times. Healed through cancer and other adversities highlights the principles this father of 19 relied on. James found many forms of healing that come through trials. Find consolation, encouragement, and helpful insights for your own struggles. Healed Through Cancer and Other Adversities offers inspiration and faith-building reminders of the God who offers so much that we may truly live. Seize hope to overcome your own difficulties in this uplifting account of one man's fascinating, self-reflective, and inspirational journey with cancer. Order your copy at formingfaithfulfamilies@gmail.com or request it from your local Catholic or secular bookstore.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. So we asked a question, didn't know we were going to go in this direction, but we did, and so be it. You know, but something to think about as we go through the course of the day, today and every day. But how do we listen? How do we listen? How do we speak? How does God speak? How do we listen? Listening is crucial. It's crucial. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we've answered the question, but it is a bit of a mystery. Mm-hmm. It's having the eyes turned to the God we do not see, God who has shown himself, who has revealed himself in Jesus. That's why what Saint said, ignorance of sacred scriptures, ignorance of Christ. You can't know Jesus without the scripture, because there we see the face of God. God has revealed himself. And but I'm going to end the show with this, the end of the encyclical. I didn't get to that very end. The other day I was sharing some parts of the encyclical, Laudato Si, the praise of the Lord, and the praise of the Lord, our common home, caring for the care of our common home. The end is just so beautiful. It says, at the end, he says, the Pope says, at the end, we will find ourselves face to face, because that's the thing is, life is not easy.
No.
It was never meant to be. No. Jesus doesn't mince words. He doesn't, he says, it's a difficult path. It's a narrow path. It's not easy. I can't promise you're not going to have suffering. I can't say you're not going to be hated. You will be persecuted. I pray, Father, you protect them. I don't ask that you take them out right now from the world, but do protect them from the evil one. At the end, as the Pope says, we will find ourselves face to face with the infinite beauty of God and be able to read with admiration and happiness the mystery of the universe, which with us will share in unending plenitude. Even now we are journeying towards the Sabbath of eternity, the New Jerusalem, towards our common home in heaven. Jesus says, I make all things new. Eternal life will be a shared experience of all, in which each creature, resplendently transfigured, will take its rightful place and have something to give those poor men and women who will have been liberated once and for all. In the meantime, we come together to take charge of this home, which has been entrusted to us, knowing that all the good which exists here will be taken up into heavenly feast. In union with all creatures, we journey through this land seeking God, Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. It's always a search, seeking God, for if the world has a beginning, and if it has been created, we must inquire who gave it this beginning, and who was its creator. Let us sing as we go. May our struggles and our concern for this planet never take away the joy of our hope. God, who calls us to generous commitment and to give Him our all, offers us the light and the strength needed to continue in our way. In the heart of this world, the Lord of life, who loves us so much, is always present. He doesn't abandon us. He does not leave us alone, for He has united Himself definitively to our earth, and His love constantly impels us to find new ways forward. Praise be to Him. That's how the encyclical actually ends then with the beautiful prayer for the earth. But it takes me back to from the officer readings today, the sufferings of this present. St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, right? The sufferings of this present age are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed in us. Indeed, the whole created world eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of God. Creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but by Him who once subjected it, yet not without hope, because the world itself will be freed from its slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Or as St. Augustine said, we will not rest until we rest in God. And was it St. Gregory of Nyssa? This was from the readings today, too. He says, yet God does raise and sustain our flagging hopes.
Mm-hmm.
He rescued Peter from drowning and made the sea into a firm surface beneath his feet. He does the same for us. This is what we learn through prayer, right?
Yes.
He does the same for us. The hands of the Word of God are stretched out to us when we are out of our depth, buffeted and lost in speculation, grasped firmly in His hands, we shall be without fear. Blessed the pure of heart, He says, for they shall see God. And this is the beautiful thing, you know. This is, again, in prayer, how to listen, God speaks to us, but we have to listen. And then He speaks in His own mysterious way, but we learn to, we attune our ears to the sound of His voice, and we have that confidence, that trust, that strength, knowing that God is with us. As Christina and Geraldine, you were both were saying, that time spent before the God and the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus and the Holy Eucharist, is the anchor. And that's the rock,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm,
upon which we build our lives. And yes, the rain will come, and the wind will blow, but the house, it will not collapse. We do our part. God does His part. He's not outdone in generosity. We listen. Indeed, He's going to speak, but not in the way the world would could even imagine, because the world, mm-hmm, is just full of noise.
Yeah.
But the final word, our doors are open because Our Lady said that the rude noise, the cacophony of the world will not shout into silence the voice of the living God. And we have to, because of the nature of noise in the world today, we have to consciously, attentively, willingly create the space, sacred space, that we hear the voice of God and that we respond. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Sit on the fence. Can you see? Can you see?